I told Margie when she had so many announcements that she could do that many if she also read the scripture, because I hadn't recruited a reader yet. So you're going to hear from Margie again.
I also wanted to make another announcement. Since we have so many visitors, I just checked with Pastor Debbie. We'll go ahead and do coffee hour and then come back in so we can have a chance to talk and greet everyone who's here today and has made the effort to come down on this gorgeous day. I'd actually like to be worshiping outside right now. Okay, so on that note, our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came again and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God.
This Sunday after Easter, this is always the gospel reading. In the Orthodox tradition, this is actually called Thomas Sunday. In many ways, Thomas has gotten, I think, perhaps a bad rap. He's been labeled Doubting Thomas. As one commentator I read this week said, no one talks about denying Peter, calling him by that adjective all the time, or runaway Mark. But Doubting Thomas has gotten stuck with the adjective. But I really like Thomas. I think Thomas is very contemporary. He wants sensory, five senses affirmation, proof, vindication, if he's going to believe that Jesus is alive. He wants his own personal experience. It's not enough for the rest of them to say, "Well, we saw him, he's alive." Thomas is saying, "No, I need to see him to know that he is alive." And I think we can get tripped up with the word believing. Some of you have heard me say this before. It's one of the themes throughout the book of John. And that word, we can hear it through all the centuries of Christian tradition as you've got to check off that you believe in the creeds, the statements about who Jesus is and who God is and all that stuff. That's really not the point. Pistio, that Greek word, is much better interpreted probably trust in. Put your, you know, trust in Jesus. It's not saying you agree to some statements about Jesus. It's saying you're trusting your life in this good news. So Thomas had gotten left out. You know what that feels like, don't we? When you know everybody else got to see this or do this, but you weren't there, and then all you do is hear about it later. That's not a good feeling. So he had been grieving, he had been afraid like the rest, and then he missed the moment. He got left out. So of course he was not satisfied. They're all telling him Jesus is alive. He's not feeling happy. He's feeling like, whoa, how can I trust this? How can I put my faith in this? And I think it's important to notice that when Jesus shows up, although some of the commentators and preachers over the centuries have condemned Thomas, I don't think Jesus condemned Thomas. He just said, in fact, he made a special appearance just to make sure Thomas got what he needed. And then he said, here, I'm here. Touch me. Do what you need to do so that you can have trust, so that you can know this joy, so you can be part of what's happening. And Thomas is the first person in the gospel who then proclaims Jesus, not just as rabbi, but my Lord and my God, which is the climactic claim the gospel of Mark is trying to bring us, John is trying to bring us to. That Jesus is the full revelation of God. But then he goes on and leaves this blessing for all of us. You, Thomas, have believed because you've seen me, but blessed are all those who trust in me, even though they have not seen. That's where the rest of us live, right? In some ways, we do go on other people's word. And yet, at the heart of our faith is the invitation to seek that personal connection, our own personal experience of God revealed to us in Christ Jesus. And for some of us, that's come in dramatic and powerful ways, and for some of us, it's been more of the longing that keeps driving us to keep looking. I remember reading somewhere that maybe faith is as much in the longing as it is in the fulfillment in this life. I also was reminded this morning of a great quote from Frederick Buechner about doubt. Doubt is not the opposite of faith, he says. Doubt is the ants in the pants of faith. Doubt's what keeps us thinking. Doubt's what keeps us searching. Doubt's what keeps us trying to understand more. Not being satisfied with the way we understood God when we were 10 or 12 or 25, wherever you are. There's more to keep learning. There's always more growing and understanding and deepening of our connection and understanding of God. And doubts but pushes that along. But I also was struck this week, and Margie, you read it so well, with the peace be with you. To those first disciples, to Thomas. Now I know, Joe Haynes is here, Joe's lived in that part of the world. Shalom, salam, peace is a greeting. It's the way you say hello to people when you meet them. So you could read that and say, oh, Jesus was just saying shalom. I don't think so. John makes such a point of it here. He said, peace be with you. They were gathered up there that Easter night. They had heard from Mary Magdalene when he was alive, but they were hiding for fear of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid they were going to get killed too. So they were in fear, in doubt, in uncertainty, grief. And Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you." A little earlier in John's gospel, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not peace as the world gives. In the world, you're going to have troubles, but I have overcome the world." That kind of peace. The peace that can be in the midst of the storm, and yet it's that sense that there's something solid that will not let us totally fall through. That's the peace of Christ. And so when he shows up to Thomas, who's hurt, left out, doubting, uncertain, and you know, all those feelings still, "Peace be with you, Thomas. I got you. I'm here for you. Don't need to be afraid. Don't need to feel left out. Don't need to think I wouldn't make sure you got what you needed to. Peace be with you." And a point I forgot. Back there to those first, that then the blessing Jesus gives them is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right there in John's gospel. There's no later in John. It's right, all happens right there, that he gives them his Spirit. And he says, if you forgive others, they are forgiven. He points to the place in our human relationships that most disrupts our peace, right? Anger, lack of forgiveness, hatred, all those things that keep us from being at peace with each other. We live in a world that knows a lot about lack of peace, do we not? In all sorts of ways, violence, division, polarization, people saying terrible things about each other, people killing each other, and people who do not know peace in their lives, so they're caught up in ways of living that give them less and less joy and satisfaction. The Spirit of Christ keeps coming to us, offering to us peace, my peace. What you need, what we need is here for us as we long and seek God's presence in our lives. That's what Jesus wants us to know. There is enough. All that we need is here for us through his Spirit. And so today, what I want us to do is share the peace of Christ with each other. I want us to take a moment to turn to someone around you, a couple people around you, and use that old greeting, "May the peace of Christ be with you," and the person responds, "And also with you." Let us share the peace of Christ with one another.